Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
And we're joined now by Steve Dempsey, Director of Publishing Products at Media House Ireland. Steve, you're very welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Gavin. Thank you for having me.
Last week on the show, we were talking about some of the big tech companies and could they ultimately end up being broken up on foot of anti-monopoly rules. Well, Facebook have won a big victory, Steve, in a number of antitrust cases against them, including one from the US competition regulator, have failed.
Yeah, it's interesting times. I mean, this was seen very much as a big win for Facebook, but in my sense, it's kind of, it's round one to Facebook, but there's plenty more rounds to go. So the Federal Trade Commission, that's the FTC, and a few state attorneys general really wanted to look up Facebook for being a monopoly. Now, there's two separate cases, but we can kind of conflate them together in some regards because it's such a dense legal mess. So the prosecutors were maintaining that Facebook used monopoly power to eliminate or destroy competitors and maintain market dominance. They said that they were doing this in two very specific ways. Facebook was reaching into its very deep pockets to acquire competitors or potential competitors like WhatsApp and Instagram. And they were saying that they were also adopting and enforcing policies that would block rival apps from using from interconnecting with their products. So, for example, Facebook used, when Twitter had a product called Vine, Facebook blocked them from being able to use their APIs to stop them from gaining market share. So this operated to stunt the growth of rivals that depended on that sort of interoperability. And it also had a chilling effect, you know, don't mess with us sort of thing. So the judge did kick these cases to touch. And there were kind of, it's a very interesting ruling, but there were three main objections. The judge found that he agreed that Facebook operated in a personal social network space, but said the prosecutors failed to define exactly what that space was.
Yeah, let me jump in there, Steve, because I thought this was one of the really interesting things. How is that even defined? Who actually are they competing with? I mean, you could include sort of Snapchat, LinkedIn, Twitter, they're sort of maybe more obvious ones, but even YouTube, I mean, you could argue that YouTube would be included in this as well. And I think what the judge was saying is, you know, the regulators are saying Facebook has a 60% share of the market, but they haven't really demonstrated how that is the case.
Well, this is typically how the first battleground that these antitrust cases are won and lost on is on definition of the actual market. And the judge actually agreed with the FTC in terms of what they said is that Facebook said that it is a monopoly at all because it faces competition from, as you said, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, all these other people. But the judge didn't accept that. He actually accepted the FTC's definition of the market as being limited to kind of personal social networking. And there were four main characteristics that the FTC said apply here, and they're using a social graph that kind of maps the connections between users and their friends and family, and letting users broadcast content in a shared social space, allowing people to find and search for other users, and finally suggesting new potential connections. So the judge found that professional networks like LinkedIn really don't count because they're not used for social and family connections, and video platforms like YouTube don't count, again, because they don't meet all these criteria. So effectively, the judge, and that's why in my reading, this is very much round one. Okay, look, there's more work for the FTC to do, but the judge kind of agreed with them on some of the very basic principles. Facebook and Instagram appeared to be the only big players that fit the main definition.
So yeah, so it clearly they need to do a bit more work to demonstrate precisely how Facebook have this 60% share of the market that the FTC claims they have.
Well, I mean, that's true. And you're right to say they said they had 60%, but the judge rightly said 60% of what? I mean, it was kind of like a teacher pulling up a sloppy student for not like dotting all their I's and T's. 60% of what? Like 60% of revenue, 60% of monthly active users. So the FTC does have, I mean, they have 30 days to come back. But I mean, I think the main area where the FTC failed was they didn't show market power is how it's defined. And market power has a specific technical reason in US law, and it's the ability to raise prices or reduce quality over an extended period of time without losing customers to the competition. So the FTC used indirect evidence, which is what it's called, this kind of 60% idea of the market, and they could come back. One of the readings is they could come back now with explicit direct evidence of market power. And this would mean, typically this would mean a company raising prices above competitive levels, but still, you know, maintaining market share. Of course, this is all made far more complicated by the fact that Facebook is free. So that option is off the table. So they could, I think that the challenge is to the FTC to see if there's another way to prove that market power, to show the market power is to show the company reducing the quality of its product. And in this case, for Facebook, it means they could be really honing in on privacy. So Facebook could be saying, as the FTC could be saying, that as Facebook grew more powerful over time, it weakened its user privacy controls because it knew people who didn't like it really had nowhere else to go. And we do know that there are internal emails presented by the FTC that suggest the companies internally, they were consciously waiting to water down privacy policies until certain rivals were kind of knocked out of the way. Google Plus is one in case, which, you know, a decade or so ago seemed to be a legitimate threat to Facebook's kind of crown as the top social media network. So they were aware and they were kind of taking steps to wait and see how they should respond to the growth or otherwise of some of their rivals.
Let's take a step back for a minute, Stephen, and talk a bit about Facebook's strategy going forward. Most of their revenue is advertising, but there is an opportunity, I think, for them to generate subscription revenue, particularly from businesses. I mean, maybe, for example, you could allow them to do e-commerce or sell products directly or something over Facebook.
Yeah, and look, I think it's one of the things. I mean, Facebook is big and it's an ambitious company and it has continuously grown. And as a result, it kind of it's caught the eye of a lot of people. And it's an easy company for people to dislike for a variety of reasons, whether they're just legislators or people on the street. But it has consistently built really strong products. It does have a marketplace product. It does sell stuff. It does have a workplace product. I don't know how widely adapted it is, but it is also tried an awful lot of things and failed at them. So it is a company that is always evolving. As the kind of FTC alleges, in some instances, it's evolving by buying the people who are operating in the space that it wants to be in. I mean, it famously, as a company, it tried to buy Snapchat and failed to do so. It bought WhatsApp and Instagram. What it can't build itself, it can buy. And it's not really the type of place that where ambition needs to be limited. It had a very interesting kind of its own currency play a year or two ago that announced. Now, it really very much hit the doldrums. But it really is a company that can almost reach for the stars in terms of its ambition, and it can have fingers in every pie. Again, that sort of company with that sort of size mean it will catch the attention of legislators who may feel it has grown too big. And look, really, sometimes the issue with Facebook and other big tech companies is that they can seem like they have lost or never had a moral compass. Which can really mean that, okay, you know, maybe they need to be put under a greater level of scrutiny. But the fact that it has ambition and it can build successful businesses in certain areas and wants to build them in others in no way means that it is a monopoly or should be broken up.
Well, one of the big areas that Mark Zuckerberg sees as an opportunity, just from looking at the last earnings call, is this whole area of augmented reality and virtual reality. So it might be things like education, online shopping, maybe where you can sort of wear a virtual reality headset and see what clothes look like on you without having to try them on. What do you think, Steve? I mean, do you think this might be one of the areas that's more successful for them than some of these other failures that they've had?
It all depends on execution, and they have proven in the past that they can execute well. The virtual reality thing has never taken off to the level that I feel they wanted to when they initially invested in Oculus, which is the kind of headset. It seems to have kind of stalled a little bit. But again, with Facebook, the limitations seem to be their own ambition. They can do pretty much anything they want, or they can certainly try to do anything they want. They seem to be sometimes stymied only by what happens when the kind of the tech bro mentality meets reality. Sometimes as a company, it can come across as naive. It can pitch wonderful ideas like virtual reality, trying on clothes, but in some regards, you know, you can never replace trying on clothes yourself in a real shop. So, you know, whether they can replicate that, it kind of waits to be seen. I mean, they do have not just this antitrust legislation, but they are also under scrutiny from in Europe and in other places as well. So there's a lot on their plate. But they're not going to slow down. I think that's one of the very interesting things. Only this week were they launching a new product, and it's not augmented reality. It's a far more mundane thing, but it's also there's a lot of potential here. It's a product called Bulletin. So it's their kind of Substack killer. Substack is an app that authors are using to actually generate direct revenue with customers. So it's effectively a subscription newsletter service. And Facebook is undercutting Substack by not taking a cut like Substack does, and recruiting well-known authors like Malcolm Gladwell. So the people who write for Bulletin are going to own all their own content, own all their old kind of direct subscriber email lists, and Facebook only won't take a cut, and the subscription revenue will be processed via Facebook Pay. So these are the type of things that Facebook can do really well. Now, you would think that Facebook would be keeping its head down right now and not doing anything that might, you know, put it in the crosshairs of regulators even further and get them to think, hold on, we're accusing them of antitrust, and now they're actually gunning for other companies and possibly being anti-competitive by using their heft and their size to steal talent or to grow faster than they could normally. So, but look, that's just one of the amazing things about Facebook. Its ambition is untrammeled.
Yeah, and I suppose the other thing I want to mention is there is a perception, I think, that maybe it's a little bit passé. Certainly the main brand Facebook, not so much Instagram or WhatsApp, but if you actually look at their user numbers overall, the user numbers continue to grow quite strongly, up to 1.88 billion daily active users now. India, the Philippines and Indonesia being cited in their last results as areas of particular strength. Although the US and Canada, it seems, are pretty static at this stage, Steve. So, you know, I wonder, what do you think about that? Are they kind of at saturation point in some markets?
Well, I think, yeah, you can only grow so far, right? I mean, I think rather famously that somebody found out that if you added together all the numbers as an aggregate of Facebook users, that Facebook was claiming to reach in the US, it was reaching more than 100% of the population. So, you know, you can't grow forever. But what you can do is you can grow, you know, revenue per user. So again, as the company reaches saturation point, it needs to have deeper relationships with its users. And that's why it is trying to build products like this kind of subscription newsletter services. But so, you know, there's an evolution there. Obviously, I mean, one of the other interesting sides of what's happening in big tech as well is that, you know, all the big tech companies are lawyering up at the moment. I spotted on Twitter this morning, somebody posted, like a tech policy person posted, that there's 76 openings for government affairs at Amazon, 98 openings for government affairs in Apple, 583 openings for public policy managers at Facebook, 103 openings for public policy managers at Google, and 32 openings for government affairs at Microsoft. So one of the things that all these people are doing, aside from the product development and you know, deepening their relationship with their users, is they really are kind of getting ready for a legislative battle.
Yeah, it's all about regulation these days. Finally then, Steve, break out your crystal ball for me. Will the Federal Trade Commission come back after them in this 30-day period, or will it be a longer time frame, or will they even come after them again at all?
I think they'll come back. I think my sense is that the judge's ruling, like I said, it feels like the FTC or teachers who just can't catch a schoolyard bully in the act at the moment, you know, and real bullies exert influence over others just by their presence and their intimidation. And it feels like the antitrust legislation, the discussion is going to broaden around antitrust legislation as well. In America, certainly the antitrust law, the case law, has established very narrow technical tests for winning monopolization case. And this approach isn't designed with modern internet companies in mind. It focuses heavily on arguments about price. As we said earlier, you know, the fact that Facebook is free means this is a very difficult place to prove that you know, the product was made worse and they maintained market share. It's a very difficult area to operate in. So I think a new legislative approach is needed that will focus on non-monetary ways that a social network can extract concessions from consumers. I know Senator Amy Klobuchar, who's very active, tweeted this. She said, you know that the ruling shows why our antitrust laws need to be updated after years of bad precedents. We can't meet the challenges of the modern digital economy with pared down agencies and limited legal tools. So I think, you know, one of the things that will definitely happen is the FTC will come back, like you say, but I think there will be there needs to be a broadening conversation of this. And one thing that I also think is definitely going to happen is this is going to get probably pretty nasty, partisan, political, and personal as well. Joe Biden has appointed a woman called Lina Khan as the chair of the FTC. She rose to prominence following the publication of a paper on Amazon's antitrust paradox in 2017, where she said the company, she took aim at them for as a logistics provider and competitor to the sellers on Amazon.com. So Amazon has already kind of singled her out as a point of attack. Okay. And it's kind of smart PR in some ways, you could say, because they're setting her up to have an anti-Amazon bias and having a narrative out there that it's being unfairly targeted. But I do expect the big tech companies to come back and stir the pot a little bit.
Okay, we leave it there. Steve Dempsey, Director of Publishing Products at Media House Ireland. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks, Gavin.
Taking Stock on News Talk.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.